thank God for them. And this morning, it's my delight and pleasure to bring our speaker. It's Pastor Femi Adeke. Come on, stand up and just welcome Femi. He always brings a good word. Bless you, Femi. Thank you so much. You got one.
I'll grab it. It's the skinny one. It's the little one. Hello. As most of you know, Pastors Femi and Remy, they're away. Let's just keep lifting them up in prayer. Intercession, and just keep speaking good things concerning them, right? The King of Glory. The King of Glory. King of Glory. You're just going to pardon me this morning. I've got notes and all. But this, it looks like this is going to go just a bit different from as planned. You know, while we're getting where we're in this already, right, it's not sectioned off as the message and worship and all of that, right? The moment we gather here, we trigger the where two or three are gathered. There I am in their midst. And we're not waiting for the word to be blessed. We're not waiting for the word to receive the word. I've got my notes just full this morning with instructions personally for me and things I need to do to engage and tap into what God is doing this morning. And that's something in this age, and I'm going to speak a little bit about that, that we need to get used to, right? And you know what, God, as I know we've just spoken and there's been a lot of words released this morning and it's not handy, I'm going to go for it too. I just want to speak to people in here this morning. If you've got something bothering you, God has instructed me to bless, to speak a blessing. So this morning, I just speak a release for everyone who is in bondage from anything at all. A release from depression, release from just lethargy. Even it is the time to step out and step into what God has called you to step into and be who God has called you to be. And this morning I decree restoration everywhere that is needed. Everything the devil has stolen, everything is toyed with and played with thus far and no more in the name of Jesus. And we spoke in healing and we just keep speaking healing wherever it's needed, and we just speak that there's just rivers of, healing, rivers just flowing in here this morning. And Lord, we thank you. 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 And we lift you up this morning. Lift you up this morning, O Lord, because you are the King of Glory. You are the King of Glory. The one thing, this morning that I heard about just, every king has a kingdom. There's no king without a kingdom, right? And so the scripture that I, yesterday that I just received with this was I'm just going to read this out here. It's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And a lot of the reading I'm going to be doing this morning will be from the NIV. It says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, there will be increase. 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 It will be from level to level. From level to level. And it will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. With justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. What's going to accomplish it? Our effort? No, it's the zeal of the Almighty God. And you can just go, just read different versions and see what that translates in. Some say the passion of the Lord of the armies of hosts will accomplish it. So it is the zeal of the Almighty God that will bring this to pass. So I was talking about every kingdom having a king. And when we talk about the Lord being the King of glory, that's what he's known for. That is Almach, right? The King of glory. And what is glory? It's splendor. It is beauty. It is, when you see something that is indescribable, you don't have the words for it. It is so perfect that you can't describe it. And there are a couple examples in the Bible that just comes to mind. I'm just sitting there and just blew my mind. The first one is in Genesis 33. And this is Moses. And I'm just going to read. I'll pick up bits and pieces here and there. So Genesis 33 from 32. And Moses said to the Lord, "Now you've been telling me, Lord, lead this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me." You've been telling me to lead this people, but you've not told me who you're going to send with me. And I'm going to skip a verse here. Oh, let's keep going. "I know you by," then the Lord said, "you've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. You are pleased with me. Teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people." That's still Moses speaking. And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses is asking, who's going to go with me? God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And if you keep reading there, he's talking about the glory of God. Because, Moses kept just pestering God here, 13. He said, "If your presence will not go with me, I will, you know, do not send us up from here. And how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and your people unless you go with us? What else would distinguish me and your people from all the other people in the face of the earth?" He says, your presence, my presence will go with you. The glory of the God is what distinguishes us from everything else. It's what marks us out from everyone else. And that is why sometimes, and so let me just rewind a little bit. This morning, I'm just going to be talking about some thoughts that I've heard. This is a journey that personally God is taking me through. And even as a corporate body, I've seen things being put out there. And I know it's relevant, right? With the fasting, you know, we've fasted and done that corporately. Some people have done this personally. A lot of people have New Year resolutions. We've got notebooks written that we're going to throw away in a month. And, you know, all that fun stuff. But just asking God that the scripture that I read that brought all of this was Isaiah 9:7. I read the increase of his government and his kingdom. And what exactly, personally, what does this mean for me? What are you saying? And they're just these thoughts that, you know, I just wrote, and I've got a few of them. I'm going to get through as many as I'm able to this morning. So just going back to that, he says to Moses, he says, "My presence will go with you." And Moses said, "Hey, the only distinguishing thing between us and other people will be your presence." And that's the glory of God. There are a few things that we just need to get away from. And the first one is, depending on our preparation for any situation or for the move of God in our life. depending on our ability, depending on our preparation. Notice I didn't say for us not to prepare. The Bible actually says in Proverbs 24:31, it says, "The horse may be prepared against the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord." It didn't say for the horse not to prepare. Right. So we prepare. Go get your budget right, right? If you need to deal with debt, go do all of that. If you need to keep healthy, eat healthy, right? To get your body in the right shape and form or fashion. But to think that all of that will make everything perfect is to err. Because when we do that, we limit God. We put God in a box. We tell God the place to manifest himself. We're talking about the era of the manifestation of the Spirit, right? We tell God, hey, if you're going to move, it can only be a lighthouse to all nations between 10, 30, and 12. That's the only place you can do whatever you want to do. That's the only place your glory can show up. Not in my bathroom, not in the parking lot, not at the superstore. But, breaking news, God does not need my permission to move. God is moving. I better get on with the program. I better engage in the things that God is doing if I do not want to get left behind. It doesn't matter what designations I have. I could be a reverend, a bishop, a doctor of theology, and all of that. If, like the men of Issachar, I choose not to understand the time and the season, I choose to put God in a box. I choose to tell God where he can work, what time, how, who he can use, I am going to miss out. I just need to be there to latch on and say, hey, God, your way, your way, your way. And I'm ready and open. We also think there are certain things. Our mind is just made up. You know, we're hungry and all of that. I'm going to give you some, just again, their thoughts. Just some of the things to dismantle a lot of the altars that we've built, right? But we already have our mind made up on who God is going to use. Or the set of people God is going to use. Let me make an announcement to you tonight. We're an ecclesia, right? We're here just trusting God, believing God. We've fasted and all of that. The body of Christ is the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is not Lighthouse to All Nations Church. It is not. We need to lay a hold on what God is doing, know what God has called us to as a people, and do that. And not think, hey, it's these four walls. When you talk about the glory and the splendor and the majesty of God, it will blow your mind what that means. We are going to see it and think, uh-oh, we knew we were expecting this, but we didn't even think this is what, you know, it's all about. Because it's bigger and greater than anything we can just concoct in our mind, right? God does not need our permission. He's never asked for our permission. He does not need it. He will never ask for our permission to do what he needs to do on the earth. Remember the increase of his government, to the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It is ever increasing. It is ever increasing. This happens to be the time of year, or I guess this last weekend, if you did some driving around, you would have seen cars in ditches, especially on the highway. And so we went out yesterday, and I think we did a stretch of just on the ring road there, we probably saw three, you know, in the ditch. I'm not rejoicing over them. But what that taught me is sometimes you overestimate what the tool that you wield can do. You think, oh man, I've got a four-wheel drive, it's a 3.5-ton truck, I've got winter tires, there's no way I'm gonna slide off the highway. And as soon as you say that, boom. Yeah, you're there. And then you need a tow truck, right? And what God just told me is, hey, again, thinking a preparation is all that matters. No. The glory and the presence of God is 100% what we need to get where we need to get to. Preparation can work sometimes, but not all the time. Ask anyone. Not all the time. It can work sometimes. The thing about the goodness and the glory and the grace of God is it works 100% all the time. 100% all the time. And that's what we need to latch onto. That's what we need to latch onto. The other thought that came is about new wine. And Mark 2:22, you know that scripture, verse 22. And if you go to 21, it talks about patching up a garment. But 22 talks about putting new wine in old wine bags. So without just going too much into culture and all of that, and back in the day there, they didn't have like glass bottles and all the fancy stuff that we've got now. So they put things in wineskin. And if you had a bag that you used over and over again and had old wine in, and you went and got fresh new wine and put that in it, it ruined both the wine and the bag itself. And what the Lord told me is, what's worked in the last season may not work right now. We get, we've had so much success with things, and we think, hey, you know what? This is a master key. Anytime I have got this, I'm faced with a challenge, all I need to do is just, pray for 30 minutes or sing this song. I've got this song in my back pocket and it just works. God is saying we need to, this is a period where we need to listen and do exactly what he says. Exactly what he says, including this pulpit. You know how we preach a lot of times that we're open to God and we get to church and we've got our program, right? All set, which is good. Like, again, I said, it's not saying not to prepare. But when and where God says, hey, here's what to do, you need to learn to drop whatever you're doing and get with the program. Just get with God's agenda, right? Just get with God's agenda. So new wine, new wine, old wine bags, a new wine should go in the wine bag that God prescribes. That is why in this season, when we hear from God, and if we are not used to or we don't know how to, this is one thing that needs to be in your toolkit right now. If you're not sure, you don't know when God speaks, it's one thing that needs to be in your toolkit. And without spending a whole series telling you about how God speaks, one, God speaks through his word and by his spirit in our hearts. And we hear God differently. He speaks audibly. Sometimes he speaks leading us. But you know the thing, as with kids with appearance, the way a kid learns to speak is it tries. He'll miss it sometimes. Then over time. And for stubborn kids that don't know how or when to obey their parents, you know what happens. They learn by the way of getting a good old-fashioned spanking on their butts. I'm not saying God spanks us. That was just something I thought about. God doesn't. I'm not saying, hey, if you don't listen to God, he spanks you. That's just something that just, that wasn't planned in the script in there. So it disciplines those elves, right? But if you don't know, we just need to work at it. And, just like a child learns to crawl, then he walks, then he runs. That's where we need to start from somewhere, having that relationship with God and learning to hear the voice of God. You know, taking the word and getting a rhema word from God, right? But yeah, in this, these days and, just getting the best of God and getting into that place of his glory, we need to be particular about listening. And when we listen, when we hear, we do. You know, God was just reminding me the other day, a couple of days ago, about some just clear instructions. He's told me for things to do. And now I started, and eventually I just thought, so for me, I'm just going to share now, not in detail, but it was about spending time with him and where to do it. And I thought, hey, God is everywhere. I don't need to go to this place to do it. And I just said, hey, you remember what I said? That instruction was for a reason. It was for a reason. And we need to stick with the exact text. Let's not, what's the word, rationalize. Let's not explain things away. If he says to do it, we do it exactly how he says it, when he says to do it, with whomever he says to do it with. We need to learn that, right? Sometimes I've learned over the years not to judge people, just see people and judge them. Because if they're listening to the drumbeat of God, I'm just wasting my time and fighting God. If I don't need to understand what people do. In fact, in these days, some of the things or the ways God will move, we will not understand. That's where openness and being able to just quickly adjust, that's where it comes in. God is going to use people we do not approve of. Personally, he will. He will. People that just met Christ 2 weeks ago, we're going to see them and ask, oh, what gave you the audacity to say that? The glory and the presence of God. God is not about seniority. It's not about seniority. It's about his agenda and his glory. So I'm just saying this. We need to put new wine in new bags. The old is gone. The new is here. Let's not carry that baggage. It's just some of the things that God was dealing with me about. Let's not carry that baggage into this new season. Let's not carry that baggage into our reasoning and the way that we obey God and the way that we do things in this season where is, you know, just the glory is going to just exponentially increase, right? Of the increase of his government and its peace, there shall be no end. Increase. Another thought here that came in that I just wrote down here. We talked about expectation this morning, right? The proof of diligent expectation is not activity, it is attitude. It is attitude, not activity. The proof of diligent expectation is not activity, but attitude. It's attitude. And I'm going to tell you the way this just came to me, right? Does my behavior line up? We just spent 21 days just praying, declaring things and all of that. Will my behavior going forward or my behavior during that fast, does it line up with the things that I'm speaking? Will the way that I'm relating to what God has spoken to me or the instructions God has given me, does it line up with what I'm expecting? Or is the activity? We talked about religion and just mindless repetition of things. God is a God of purpose. Everything that God institutes and everything that he tells us to do is to a purpose, to for his glory and for our increase and for our blessing. If it comes a time that we're just doing things and just doing, and the other word I got here was the holding pattern. And it's just, we just need to stop in our tracks and, hey, what's going on? What's going on here, right? Attitude. That's one word that we just nearly, so we're just getting in there, just speaking the word, trusting God, going out and We're like, it's just going to be the same old results as last year. I know I've prayed and we should pray. God said to pray, but I'm not expecting anything to change. It can't be that way. We need a hunger to see God's glory manifest. We need faith to see the goodness and the glory manifest. It's not just about activity and just running around and just running around and just running around, just running around. In our hearts, in our actions, in our words, what is the attitude? Do we really believe? Are we really living the promise of God? And I talked about that old impartation. Let me just give you a quick, if you don't know what, I'm sure a lot of us know what that means. You ever been in an airplane and you know you've got a route planned and the plane wants to land? You're at destination. You can see it. You know, Jane talked about the, you know, balls of fire just hanging there. You can see it, but you can't touch. It's so close, but still far. And so it's just hovering around the airport. And, pilot tells you, we'll land in a bit. But, we don't have airspace or the weather isn't good. And 30 minutes later, you're already at destination, but you can't land. And you're just going around and around. In Deuteronomy 2:3-4, if you can pull that up, God told Moses, you have circled this mountain long enough. It is time to move on. And he told them where to go. He said to turn. I think that was a turn left towards, you've circled long enough. We have battled long enough. Here's the thing. See another thing here. That's not one of the thoughts here. But challenges are God's tool for promotion. But we don't need to be facing the same challenge day in, day out. When you overcome one and you step out, you'll get another one. Your gift for passing an exam is another exam. Because that's how we grow. That's how we learn, right? You know, sometimes you listen to people and say, you get born again and that's the end of all your problems in the world. What I tell people is it's not the end of all your problems, it's a graduation, right? Now, the only difference is those problems are actually not problems because you got the tools to deal with them. Again, remember what Exodus said. Your glory is what will separate your people from all the peoples, all the nations of the world. It is, even in these times. So, you're going round and round. It's time to break that pattern. Say, Lord, where do I turn? And he's going to tell you, turn to the left, turn to the right, or just, I don't know, he'll tell you something. Jump up, jump down. Squat, something so you get out of that pattern and you get onto greater things. You get on a greater height. You're able to get in there and fight with another, with a fellow brother. You're going to be able to get in the trenches to help with things. If we are overburdened with our own issue, where are we even there to lend a hand, right? You have circled this mountain long enough. Long enough. I just want to stop where it's. I don't have to go through all of this. Just stop where I'm trusting God that I will know exactly where to end this. The glory of God. I was actually just sitting there and I didn't have this in my notes. I used a $20 bill to just a page in the Bible here now. So we're talking about Moses initially. I'm going to finish up with that. And one more thing in the book of Matthew, then we'll be done here this morning. So in Exodus 33, after that back and forth between Moses and God, and Moses saying, hey, I want your presence to go. I want someone to go with me. Then God says, my presence will go with you. That is my glory. And Moses said, hey, what's the proof? Then I want to see you. Then God says, hey, you can't see my face, but I'm going to pass, you know, by you. That's in Genesis. And we saw what happened to Moses just from, he didn't even see God. And this is old wine bag and old wine from the Old Testament. Just go read the rest of that chapter here. Bible says that after he came back, and you read what happened on that mountain, a lot of things, you know, manifestation and all of that. Then Moses came back and the children of Israel could not even behold his face. That's glory. That's beauty. That's the presence of God. That's, you know, in this world, again, I said, it's that glory that will separate us. We can't just be doing church. We've said that a lot. I'm tired. You know, people should be tired. If the ecclesia, if we become tired of just doing an activity, we will start moving towards what God has called us towards. And that's, again, here's a thought. I'm not preaching about that today. But why do people think that the gospel isn't relevant to them? So I was, just chatting with my dad yesterday. We were talking about Africa and how, you know, people will go to church, and it's understandable because, hey, for some of those nations, that's all they have. But we are fed and overfed, and we're scratching our bellies, busting our bellies, and feeding some more, and we're so fat, and we don't know what to do with it, that we don't see a need for God in our nation or our families because we think we have the solution to everything we're faced with. But guess what? The glory of God is nothing compared to what we think is best that we see. Now, in the moment that we start letting God, or we get on with God's agenda and start letting him manifest himself, the same time that the government of this world and the people of this world will realize that God is relevant in their lives. I know the Holy Spirit does the conviction, right? That is good. But that they'll realize the relevance of the gospel, the relevance of the good news, the relevance of Jesus and righteousness and justice in our society. So his face was, you know, very brilliant. They couldn't see him. The other one that just came to mind this morning was from Matthew chapter 17, the transfiguration, when Jesus went and took disciples with him. And he said he went up and he, you know, all the things that happened with the glory, just being there in the presence of God and feeding off the very essence of his person, feeding off from the very essence of his presence, just feeding off from being in close proximity. The same way, guys, that when we stand here and we lift our hands to worship, when we pray in the Spirit, when we, even by ourselves, because we are creatures of God made in his true likeness and image, the very presence and the very essence that we connect with, the very person that lives on our inside, the very person that we carry, the very person that we sleep with, the very person that we worship, just that connection, the brilliance of the face. Again, expectation and attitude. What do we expect as people that carry God within us? Do we see ourselves as wimpy, helpless? And I'm going to confess, sometimes it comes across that way. But then you remember, no, that's the natural. That's not who I am. I am a spirit being, and God is spirit. God is at work within me. Everything we see in the natural is born of what happens in the spiritual. Right? The spiritual changes things. Then you just, no, that's not the order of God. The order of God is the spiritual first. You know, just snap out of it. Attitude. And when we do that, we open up a place for the glory of God to seep through. You know how after you've had a very cloudy and a stormy day, once the clouds start parting and you see those sun rays just hit earth, everyone's happy. That's what the glory does. And to Jesus here, just being on that mountain and just praying and traveling, when he came back, the disciples weren't able to look at his face. And they didn't know what to make of this. Somewhere in that story, they said, hey, Lord, how about let's build a tabernacle here? We don't even want to live here. We don't want to go home anymore. You know, we make one for you. We make one for Moses. Make one for Elijah and just camp out here. Right? There's so much more that God has in stock for us and wants us as people to manifest than we're experiencing right now. And I'm just glad that God has a way of just stirring us up into, especially when we get together here, so that we're not just going through the motions. You know, we worship, we just intercede, we pray, and all of that. And we, you know, encourage ourselves that it shouldn't just be within these four walls here, to go out there. Because, again, we're not going to limit God to where he can work. And how? And through whom? I tell you, we'll see some really strange things, especially with the kind of people that God is going to start using. And people are going to try and shut them up and say, oh yeah, no, that's not legit. You know, we don't know you, but God knows them. And God is raising a generation that isn't afraid. They do not fear anything. They are a courageous people. And when I mean they now, I'm not talking about, you know, courageous people who are not afraid, will go to the enemies at the gate. At the gate. It's not something that is futuristic or anything, right? It is here. Again, what just encourages me is the Bible, you know, it says that we're talking about increase. We're talking about increase. And, you know, if we need to see that in our lives and as an ecclesia, I've seen a shift even with us here. Let's just all just get in on with the agenda, right? Let's get in there. Let's mindfully, I don't even like to use the word mind, like let's be spirit conscious and just get into what the Spirit is doing. Get into what the Spirit is doing. Listen to the Spirit. Obey. Exactly, in totality, you know, without trying to manufacture our own things or our own ways. Hallelujah. I think there's a good, I've just got, I could just speak all day. But again, I just tell God, I you know, we've talked about these things. We just need to start just walking in this. And, you know, I'm saying, and I liked what happened today. You know, how we just went and just declared that we spoke healing. Challenged, hey, you know, we've spoken healing, God heals when we pray. You know, come on out here and see what God's done. That's the other thing about this, you know, this season. Let's not keep silent. God's, you know, we see the manifestation of what he's doing. Get on out here and let's speak. Let's do that, right? Glory to God. And yeah, I'm just going to stop here, right? Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Wow. Preach it. That would, you know, it's not just preaching. He who has ears to hear, we heard it. We've seen it. And we receive these words today. The old has passed away. We have moved forward into the new. We have a new way of walking. We have new attitude. So thank you, Pastor Femi, that was an excellent word, and you could have shared so much more. But go out there and let him be who he is in you. Just show up, because he's already there waiting for you to show up. And wherever you go this week, you bear his glory. Release it, however that looks. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're dismissed, and have a wonderful week. And thanks again, everyone, for joining us. Shalom. Amen. Praise God.